Brother Gordon, you've got 25 minutes. Use it wisely. Use it wisely.
I'll pay a bit of attention to it. We do want to invite you to our conference. It's the 17th through the 19th of next month. The church will provide your motel room. If you can just write on a piece of paper your name and what you need in the motel room, if you have any special needs, and I will make your reservations. I'd like tonight to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 5. All through the Gospels, we see Jesus in a variety of places. We see him under diverse circumstances, doing what only he can do. We see him time and time again bringing about deliverance, bringing about transformation, bringing satisfaction into the hearts and lives of people, bringing peace and assurance and joy unspeakable. And all of that ought to inspire you and I as God's people. It ought to greatly encourage our faith and our perseverance in his service. We'd like tonight to read verses 17 through 19 of Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, and there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which will come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And notice what it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, we don't see any behold in verse 17, showing us the Pharisees and the doctors, but here we have a behold. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. This is just a portion of Luke's account of how four individuals carried a paralytic on his bed to where Jesus was. And how that Jesus, as you read on, you see how that Jesus healed this man. We see Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. We see Mark's account in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Mark's account provides us with the most detail concerning the miracle. But we have read Luke's account because we want to center our thoughts upon what we read in verses 18 and 19. In verse 18, we read of the desire and the intent and the resolve of these individuals. It says they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before him. Before him. That was their intent, was to get this man before him, before Jesus. And in verse 19, we see the end result of their faith and their perseverance. We see into the midst before Jesus. Before Jesus. These five individuals, the four, the paralytic on the bed, had a faith that saw no other options. They had a faith that saw no other alternative but Jesus. They had a faith that saw no other course of action but Jesus Christ. So the account tells us how they came to this position before Jesus. That's a wonderful position before Jesus. So we want to speak tonight on a faith pressing to get before Jesus. A faith pressing to get before Jesus. Just as last night, we'll consider some background. We read in Mark's account, in Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, and again, he, that is Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days. So he'd been there before, and again. So he's come back. It also states in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 27, we learn what took place on his previous visit to Capernaum. He taught in the synagogue, and that astonished the people concerning his doctrine and his manner of teaching. In that same synagogue, if you remember, he delivered a man from an oppressive from the oppressive power of a demon, which again left the people amazed, and they were talking among themselves. As a result of that, we read in Mark 1 verse 28, his fame spread abroad throughout all the region. We also learn concerning his previous time in Capernaum that Simon and Andrew had a house there. And Jesus had entered into that house with James and John and miraculously healed Simon's mother-in-law. News spread that Jesus was in that house. And as the sun was setting, a great multitude gathered to that house, and they brought with them the diseased and the possessed, and Jesus healed them. Jesus healed the diseased and the possessed. And we read in Mark 1, verse 37, that as a result of that, all men were seeking Jesus Christ. And in verse 38, to escape the frenzy, Jesus leaves Capernaum, and he preaches throughout Galilee. Some days passed, Jesus returns to Capernaum. And due to what happened when he was there previously, news quickly spreads. Jesus is back. Jesus is back. And that news is spreading throughout Capernaum. And we read that in Mark's account, in Mark 2 and verse 1, it was noise that he was in the house, probably Simon and Andrew's house. But again, it doesn't really matter what house he was in, he was back at Capernaum. Mark tells us in Mark 2 verse 2 that many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door. So the people, hearing that Jesus was back, again, previously he had done all these miraculous things in Capernaum. Now they hear that he's back and they come in droves to this house where Jesus was. And most that made up that multitude were there to simply see the miraculous. They were there out of curiosity. They were spiritually indifferent. Spiritually uncommitted. Jesus made reference in Luke chapter 10 concerning the people of Capernaum, and he said they are hardened people. They are very indifferent people, and they thought very lightly of spiritual matters. If you remember, he said if the miracles that were done in Capernaum were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have believed. So these were a hardened people. There are those who, again, they just wanted to see the spectacular, and yet they rejected the Lord who did the spectacular. So the people of Capernaum, they had saw and they had heard many wonderful things, but there was no life-altering impact upon their lives. It didn't really make any difference in their lives. From verse 17 of our text here in Luke chapter 5, we see that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law. Doctors of the law are the scribes sitting by. These no doubt were in the house. There's a multitude outside the house. These no doubt were in the house. And they, of course, represent the religious system of Christ's day, which was a works-based system, stressed to the neglect of the inward. They stressed strictly the outward. It was a system of hypocrisy. That system still exists today very strongly in Baptist circles. But it was a system which Jesus Christ absolutely abhorred.
Yes.
He was constantly at war with this system. And I believe he still abhors it today.
Right.
But that's not our message. And with the gathering of this great multitude, we also read in Mark 2 and verse 2 that he preached the word unto them. So Jesus is in the house. News spreads. Jesus is back. The people come in droves. Jesus preaches to them. And that's where our text picks up here in Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Notice that. Jesus was there as Lord. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. In that house that day was the Almighty One. In that house that day was eternal God. In that house that day was the immortal, the immutable, the infinite, the omniscient, the all-sufficient Creator and Sustainer. And he's there in a body of human flesh.
Right.
And you have this mass of people in the house, outside of the house. In that house is Jesus. He's Lord over all. He's above all. He's beyond all. He is the living, conquering, triumphant, overcoming Lamb of God is in that house. That is the way. We must not lose sight of who is in the house. In that house is God's remedy. In that house is God's solution to man's greatest problem. In that house is God's provision for man's greatest need. Jesus Christ is in that house. One greater than the sinner's guilt. One greater than the sinner's condemnation. One greater than the sinner's enmity and darkness and pollution and unacceptableness. The one in that house is greater than the condition of all those who are around that house. In that house is the person of Jesus Christ, the way to God, the way out of the darkness and the filth and the emptiness and the destruction and the ruin of sin, and the one into the blessings of God. What an opportunity! Jesus was in that house. Jesus Christ,
amen,
as Savior, as Redeemer, as Shepherd, as Advocate, as Friend, was in that house. He was in that house as the manifestation of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love and God's goodness. Jesus was in that house. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Jesus was there and he was able to mend. He was able to cure. He was able to repair, to fix, to restore, to correct, to deliver, and to strengthen all who needed it. He was there. He was there in person and power, greater than all the disease of body and soul. In that house that day is Jesus Christ. And there was no condition in that house or around that house that is beyond him. There is no situation, there is no circumstance of all the people in the house, of all the people around the house, that is beyond him. Amen. There is no sin, no guilt, no enslavement, no problem, no difficulty, no trial, no disease that he was not the answer for that day. That's still true today.
Amen.
Jesus is the answer. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Amen. Jesus is the answer. Whatever your condition is, whatever your problem might be, Jesus Christ is the answer. And he was there as Lord with power to heal. So Jesus was in that house. He had power to heal, which means he was available. Jesus Christ was available in that house. And the people came in droves. We are told of a paralytic. Matthew, in referring to him, three times used the phrase sick of the palsy. In Mark's account, in Mark chapter 2, he used the phrase five times. So that's eight times. Sick of the palsy. Luke uses the phrase one time. So nine times, three accounts, nine times we are told that this man was sick of the palsy. That speaks of the fact that he was in a suffering and debilitating state. But Luke provides us a little bit more detail. In verse 18, he provides us some detail as to the degree of the man's paralysis by saying he was taken with a palsy. The sick of the palsy. But then Luke says he was taken with palsy, which means he was overcome by it. He was seized by it. In other words, he was in a condition of incapacity. He was in a condition of helplessness. In other words, paralysis was this man's life. He was taken with palsy. This was his life. It affected his view of life. It affected his way of life. This was his life. It's who he was. He's not identified by name. He's identified by his condition. He was sick of the palsy. Now, no doubt, this man had a felt need. You didn't have to tell this man, hey, do you know that you're paralyzed? Well, he knew that. He had a felt need. He had a desire to get to Jesus. And he had faith that Jesus could heal him of his paralysis. There were also four individuals who saw this man's need, had a desire to get this man to Jesus, and had a faith that Jesus could heal him. If we can just get him before him. So, this paralytic and these four individuals heard that Jesus was in the house. And they heard that the power of the Lord was present to heal. And these four individuals and this paralytic, believing that Jesus was able to cure this man, able to mend this man, able to put this man's life back together. They believed that Jesus Christ was greater than the paralysis of this man. And whoever you are tonight, whatever your situation, I promise you tonight that Jesus Christ is greater than whatever need you have.
Amen. That's right.
He's greater. These individuals realized this. They realized that there was no condition, there was no situation, there was no circumstance, there was no sin, there was no guilt, that he was not the answer for. So let's observe these individuals pressing toward Christ. It says in verse 18 that their desire was to lay him before him. That's their desire. It's their only option, by the way. They have no other alternative. That's the faith we talked about last night. A faith with no other option or alternative. So observe these as they press toward Christ. They're fully aware of need. They have a great desire and a longing concerning that need. They're aware that Jesus was there, and they believe. They're absolutely persuaded that he's able. Absolutely convinced that he's bigger than the paralysis. And these five, ones on a bed, they move in the direction of Christ. And as you look at them, again, you have four individuals, one on each corner, carrying this pallet, paralytic on the pallet. And as you observe them, they're in unison. They're all moving in the same direction. One's not trying to go back. They're all moving in the same direction. They're all willing to carry this paralytic to where Jesus was. Why? Because he was the answer. He was their only option. They had nowhere else to go. So they move in unison. And I'm sure, we don't know how long they carried this individual. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I'm sure that along the way, there were some rough spots. There were some difficulties. But they never lost sight of the need. They never lost the longing in their hearts to see this man healed. They never stopped believing that Jesus Christ was able. Yes, this is a rough spot, but we're going to keep going because Jesus is over there and he's the answer to this man's problem. And we're going to keep moving in that direction. That needs to be us at all times. You see, their faith, which saw no other option, which saw no other alternative, their faith would not allow them to be deterred. Would not allow them to be distracted. Their faith would not let them become bogged down at any point of the journey. But they just keep persevering toward where he is. Because he's the answer. And again, that's true tonight. He's the answer. Whatever the problem, it doesn't matter. That's not the issue. He's the answer. And we must move in his direction. So they knew that Jesus, the one whom they needed, the one who had everything they needed, was in that house. And they arrive at the house. We don't know how many problems they had along the way, but I'm sure there were some. And they finally arrive at the house, and there's this mass of people, and they can't get to the house. They can't get to the house. Remember their goal, to lay this man before Jesus. Their goal is not to just stand outside of the house. Their goal is to get this man before Jesus. But they come to the house and there's this multitude. And we read in Mark's account, verse 4 of chapter 2, and when they could not come nigh unto him, when they could not get near to him, which was their desire, because of the press or because of the people were in the way. They were an obstruction. May I say, people will always be in the way. People will always be in the way between us and Jesus Christ. All the time. Someone is going to get in the way. What we have to make sure is that we are never the one in the way of someone getting near to Christ. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, these people were like a barrier between these five individuals and Jesus Christ. And from Luke's account, our text in Luke 5:18, we see that they tried. They tried, and they tried, and they tried to get in that house. It says that they sought means to bring him in. And verse 19 says they could not find by the way they might bring him in because of the multitude. So there they are carrying this pallet. They would go over here, they would go over here, they would go over here, excuse me, trying to get a path. And the people weren't moving. There's no way to get into that house. The people are in the way. And the people perhaps are rude. They're not getting out of the way. They're not moving. They're curiosity seekers. They could have stopped right there. They could have got stuck right there. And the paralytic could have said, I'll never be healed. All because of those people. We'll come back another time. No, they had a faith. That's the only one option. Jesus Christ. And they would not be satisfied being apart from Jesus Christ. They're not going to be content. They're not going to let the people prevent them from getting near to Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody prevent you from getting near to Jesus Christ. Don't you use anybody as an excuse why you can't get to Christ, because that's not so. They would not let anyone prevent them from experiencing Jesus Christ. So in spite of the people in the way, and I'm sure in spite of their frustration with the people in the way, faith kept pursuing Jesus Christ. Why? He's our only option. He's our only option. If there's another option, such as, well, we just need to go back home, that's where you're going to head. But if you only have one option, Jesus Christ, you keep pursuing in that direction. They felt a need. They have a desire to have that need met. And they believed and they're fully persuaded that the one in that house, Jesus Christ, is able to meet that need and satisfy the longing of the heart. And they're desperate for a miracle. I doubt there is not a single person here tonight that does not need a miracle in their life. Or you know someone who does need a miracle. These were desperate for a miracle. So desperate, so convinced that Jesus was the only one who could perform this miracle, they would not be deterred. That's the faith we need. A faith with no other option, no other alternative, no other course of action. A faith that propels us to keep moving in His direction. There will always be discouragements. There will always be barriers. There will always be obstacles. But people with this kind of faith keep on moving. In spite of the obstacles, in spite of the barriers, And we read in verse 19, after going over here and over here and over here and over here, they finally make a pathway through the multitude. They still can't get in the door. So it says they went upon the housetop. What have they done now? They've risen above the crowd. That's what this kind of faith will do. If you don't have this kind of faith, you'll get stuck in the crowd. But this kind of faith will cause you to persevere. And eventually you rise above the crowd. Who in the world wants to get stuck in the crowd here below? We read again, they went upon the housetop. They went upon the housetop. They're above the crowd. Now, houses in that day were usually constructed with flat roofs. There'd be a set of stairs on the side of the house, which would allow access to the roof. And the roofs were much like you and I would use decks today. And these roofs were made by laying timbers across the top of the house. These timbers would then be covered by layers of clay and branches, layers of clay tiles. Finally, there's a thick layer of mud that was placed on the top, and that would be rolled and pressed until it was very hard and waterproof. So after struggling to get to the roof, four men carrying another man on a bed, they make their way to the roof, and there they are. They still can't see Jesus. Perhaps they can hear the muffled sound of his voice. And perhaps they move from one place of the roof to another to try to identify the exact location of Jesus below. And finally they get to the place. He's right there. He's right there. He's right below us. We can tell by his voice. But the roof's in the way. The roof's in the way. Again, something will always be in the way. If you're waiting for the day when all barriers are moved, you will be waiting until you die. You will never get to him. Because there's always going to be something in the way. People say all the time, well, when this works out and this and this and this, I'll serve the Lord. You'll never serve him. Because even if all those things worked out, there's still going to come other problems. That's not the issue. The issue is not what is in the way. The issue is, do I have faith to move beyond what's in the way? Amen. That's the issue. So now, you could say the clay was in the way. There's a message right there. The clay, the carnal, the earthly. It's always in the way. It's always in the way. These individuals are there. They are up in the roof. They're very aware of their need. Oh, they yearn and they long to have that need met. And they're very aware that Jesus is right there below. And they believe if we can just get him before Jesus, Jesus can heal him. Jesus can fix him. Jesus can put his life back together. We've got to get him below. So they dig a hole in the roof. Now, if you imagine them carrying on a pallet, I would imagine it would take a 4x6 hole at least to lower this bed into the midst of the house. They would not be deterred by the obstacle of the roof. So there's Jesus. He's preaching in the house. These four men carry this bed with the paralytic up the staircase under the roof of the house. And once they get up there, they begin to dig through the roof. And finally, they've made an opening large enough to lower their friend into the house. And imagine, as Jesus is preaching, after a short time, you can hear a noise up above, and perhaps some in the multitude begin to look above. Pretty soon, some dirt starts to fall down. Pretty soon, some sticks start to fall down on the floor of this house and upon those who are assembled below. And then we read in our text in verse 19, they let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst, before Jesus. Amen. Faith kept them moving through all obstacles in the direction of Christ until this paralytic was before Jesus. That needs to be our goal every single day. Yes. I've got to get before Jesus. And every single day there's going to be obstacle after obstacle to try to prevent us from getting to that position before Jesus. What a wonderful place to be. Is there a better place to be than before Jesus? Think about that. Think about before Jesus. It was here that this man sick of the palsy felt the very presence of Jesus Christ. He's before Jesus. He feels the presence of Christ. It was here he could look and see Jesus. He couldn't see him out there in the crowd. He couldn't see him up on the rooftop. But when he got before Jesus, he could see him. You want to get in the place every day where you can feel his presence, where you can see him. He's in the midst before Jesus. Now that tells me there are people all around him. But what's this man looking at? He's looking at Jesus. He's not worried about who else is in the room. It's like it's just him and Jesus. And it was before Jesus that he heard that loving word, Mark 2 and verse 5. Son. The pallet is lowered before Jesus, and Jesus looks at him and says, Son. Oh, the joy. Oh, the encouragement that filled this man's heart. It was before Jesus that he heard those words, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. All the joy that filled his heart. Your sins are removed. Your sins are blotted out. Your sins are washed away. Your sins are not imputed to you. It was before Jesus that he had that assurance. Before Jesus, the load of his sins was lifted from him. It was before Jesus that he received life-altering instruction. He was instructed, arise! He was told to do something that he could not do. Arise. Take up thy bed. So he's told to do two things so far. Get out of the bed. Now pick up the bed and go thine way into thine house. All impossibilities. But we read in Mark 2 and verse 2, and immediately he rose as a result of imparted strength to him. And he rose and he took up his bed as a result of the strength of God that was imparted to him. You find strength at the feet of Jesus. You find strength to do the impossible at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what a place to be. We can't get stuck out here in the crowd. We can't get stuck up on the roof. There's Jesus. It was here before Jesus that he experienced Christ. It was here before Jesus that he received from Christ. So he rises up, takes up his bed. Look at him. Look at him. Here's a man who could not walk. And now he's standing, holding his bed. Here is a man who had to be carried upon a bed. And now he's standing before all. And he's holding his bed. There before Jesus, he was enabled to do the impossible. He's now the recipient of a miracle. He's a blessed man. He's been blessed of the Lord. It is here before Jesus. No doubt that a song of praise filled his heart. And it was from here before Jesus that he went home a new man. In fact, we read in Luke's account, Luke chapter 5, verse 25, he departed to his own house glorifying God. This man was brought to Jesus bouncing on a pallet. And I'm sure that there were probably some moans and groans along the way. But he was not carried home. He walked home. And there were no moans, there were no groans. He was glorifying God all the way home. And it all happened before Jesus. We got to get there. We got to get there every single day. I want to spend time before Jesus. But this happened, and this happened, and this happened. We need the faith to move beyond all of that. To move beyond all the obstacles. To move beyond all the barriers. A faith that realizes he's my only option. I've got to get before Jesus. And that's what happened. Think about when he went home. He was able to open the door and to walk in his house. All because he'd been before Jesus. He was able to walk around his house. He was able to do things around the house. You see, his life is different. And because his life is different, his home life is different as well. That'll always be the case. Oh, my home's a mess. Get your life straightened out. That'll straighten up your home. The two go together. Amen. They always go together. That's a different message. Well, let's make some application to ourselves. This ought to greatly encourage us. It ought to embolden us. It ought to fill us with passion, and zeal, and resolve. It ought to cause us to be committed. And no matter what happens on any given day, I have to keep moving in the direction of Jesus. I can't afford to be deterred. I've got to keep moving in the direction of Jesus. And sure, there's an obstacle here, but I've got to move beyond that obstacle because Jesus is my only option. I've got to get to him. And you keep moving. And as long as you're moving in the direction of Jesus, you're moving in the right direction. The very moment you get deterred and start going somewhere else, you're now going in the wrong direction. So we need a faith that moves us beyond the obstacles. And I assure you tonight that in this building there are real and desperate situations. and conditions and needs. But I also remind you, there's Jesus. There he is. You've got to get before him. You have needs. You have situations. You've got to get before Jesus. There he is. There are desperate conditions. Right now, there may be physical needs. There may be mental, emotional, spiritual needs. There are cares. There are burdens. There isn't anyone here that doesn't have a care or a burden. We all have them. And there's difficulties. There isn't anyone here that doesn't have any difficulties in their life. You know, some people look at God's people who are close to the Lord and they act as if, well, they're lucky. It's easy for them. Well, it's never easy. It requires faith to move beyond the obstacles. Some people are stopped by the smallest obstacle. It doesn't have to be a wall. It can be a stone. Well, I can't go any further. There's a rock there. And then they'll live the rest of their lives. Well, I would have, but that stone was in my way. Are you serious? Well, they are, sadly. And they live the rest of their lives away from Christ. But this paralytic has 8 feet carrying him to Jesus. See him there lying upon that gurney. And then you and I put whatever you want to put. I don't care what it is. Put whatever you want to put upon that gurney. Doesn't matter. Put whatever you want to put on that gurney and move in the direction of Christ. And just keep moving. And we ought to do that individually. We ought to do that collectively. We ought to be willing to say, hey, I'll take a corner of that bed. And we begin to walk toward Jesus. So this is true individually. It's true collectively as a body of Christ. We're going to take a corner of that bed and we're going to just keep moving toward Christ. How many times we hear people say, oh, Brother Dan, I've prayed and prayed and prayed. I've prayed for years and nothing's happened, so I'm going to try this. Let me tell you something. Nothing else is going to work. Jesus is your only option. You need to keep moving in the direction of Jesus Christ. So their faith caused them to be determined. We've got to get before Jesus. Oh, that we would wake up every morning with that desire. I've got to get before Jesus. When a problem comes in our life, when a circumstance arises that we weren't expecting, when something happens that we didn't plan for, I've got to get before Jesus. And you just keep moving in his direction. Their faith did not allow them to be indifferent. Their faith did not allow them to throw up their hands and give up. Because they knew Jesus is there. And that's my only option for help. That's my only option for healing. That's my only option for relief. That's my only option for joy and fulfillment, encouragement and peace and victory. We've got to get before Jesus. Just as their faith would not allow them to get bogged down or deterred in their pursuit of Christ, we must have a faith that will not allow us to get stuck anywhere short of Jesus Christ. They didn't get within 50 yards of the house and say, you know what? This has been hard. This is probably good enough. They didn't settle for that. They got up on the roof. Well, you know, we can hear the muffled sound of his voice. This, this will do. We've got to get before Jesus. They would not be satisfied with anything less. They would not be satisfied. That must be us. That must be us individually. That must be us collectively. Yes. Got to get to Him. Got to get to Jesus. You could leave here tonight, one phone call, change the rest of your life. What do you do? I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Him. He's my only option. I don't have anywhere else to go. To whom else are you going to go? You've got to get to Him. Again, last night we preached on a faith that leaves no other option. We see an example of that here tonight. A faith that saw no other option. We need that faith tonight. We need that faith desperately in these days in which we live. And that we would unite together and carry that pallet toward Jesus Christ. Not getting stuck anywhere along the way. Oh, people will say, well, you know, I used to serve the Lord and then this happened and that happened and this happened. So-and-so said something to me in church and I haven't been there in 10 years because they offended me. Get over yourself. Amen. Have some faith and move beyond the obstacle. And be honest. It wasn't because brother so-and-so said something that's kept you out of church. That's not the reason you're not in church. It's not the reason. You didn't have faith to get past that obstacle. You didn't have enough love for the Lord to get past that obstacle. We need this faith. We need it desperately. Amen. And God would grant it tonight, Brother Ben.
Amen. Let's stand.